Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. Happy Healthy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Healthy Tuesday, Francisco.
It's good to see you at least through a screen.
Yes, it's nice to be in the studio. Every time I'm back, I think, oh, this feels so familiar, and I love my chair with my name on it that I get to sit in when I'm here. It makes me happy. It makes me feel like life is returned to some sort of normal for the moment, whatever this normal may be. So I'm thinking about, because of the idea of returning to something, I'm thinking about the holidays that are coming upon us. And I love hosting Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays of the year, maybe my favorite holiday of the year. And I love everyone at our house. And this year we should be 18 people in attendance for Thanksgiving. And I'm filled with a lot of mixed emotions about this gathering that we're planning to have at this point. Because the last time we were together fully as a family was in March of 2020. So right before the lockdown, literally days before the lockdown. And we got together at that time to celebrate my sister's 50th birthday. So it was a big, important event, an important transition, a ritual to share this passing of time with my sister. And it was a wonderful, wonderful day. And then, of course, you know, 3 or 4 days later, the state went into lockdown. And once we got through a few weeks and realized, you know, no one was sick, we were able to nervously joke a little bit about how we kind of dodged a family spreader event. But it was disconcerting. And so since then, we've been Zoom holidays as a family, and we've had occasional one-on-one visits with different family members, but there hasn't been one giant group of our extended family since that last birthday. So it's interesting talking about coming back together, because a lot of things have happened in the course of these 18 months that we haven't been able to be together. I mean, just in my extended group of 18, there's been 5 surgeries, a new baby, graduations, a moving across country, 2 starting school, new relationships, new jobs. There's a lot to catch up on. And even though we talk often, our family's pretty connected, we keep up with each other, we email chain and text chain, there's something very different about going through these life events in person than going through them over Zoom or over FaceTime or over text or email news. It's different. It's different being in the presence of another person when they're going through some life transition, being able to honor that, acknowledge that, share the moment, cry if you need to, laugh if you can, hug each other, right? All of those things that make us feel human and ground us with each other. And so I'm thinking about how do we catch up with all of these changes and transitions? And in many ways, we can't. We can't go back and replay them all. We can't go back and feel the feelings we had at the time, but we can acknowledge that these events happened and mention them during our toasts. But the actual experience, the lived moment of all of these life changes in 18 months really can't be recreated. So we'll have to just say, well, it was an 18 months hiatus, and we'll start moving forward from here. And so I've also been thinking about what this here looks like, what it's going to mean coming together for this holiday season. Do we have any concerns about getting together? Is it safe for us to gather? And I was listening to the news to kind of get a feel for what the latest information was about the holiday gatherings and whether or not we should, because the last thing I want to do is go back to where we were in March of 2020 and have this giant family gathering on Thanksgiving, and then 3 days later have some sort of disruption again, and then we all have to hold our breath. You know where I'm going with this, right? And worry and wonder. So I don't want that to be the case. So I've been trying to keep up with the latest news. And so according to Dr. Fauci, yesterday he gave thumbs up for fully vaccinated family gatherings and said it's time to come back together and it's okay. And even though we're seeing upticks in some of the colder states, the 21 colder states in the country have actually reported a 10% increase in cases in the last 2 weeks, which is disheartening. And hospitalizations grew for the first time in 10 weeks. So that's disconcerting. But Dr. Fauci said even in that case, with fully vaccinated family members, you can gather safely. So then I looked at what Dr. Lena Nguyen had to say, and she's a public health professor at George Washington University. And her feeling is that people with children too young to be vaccinated or with family members who might have underlying health conditions, that you could take precautions like celebrating outdoors if possible. And fortunately here in California, it looks like it'll be possible, or have everyone get a rapid test the morning of the event. And then Dr. Jerome Adams, who is the U.S. Surgeon General under former President Trump, also said it looks like we're safe to gather moving forward, again, with precautions. All three of the health professionals said that we are moving towards the tail end, whatever that means, because I feel like we've heard this tale before, but that we're moving to the end, that we're moving from pandemic to endemic, hopefully by the springtime. But in the meantime, nothing is risk-free. All of them said the same thing. Nothing is risk-free. And so we have to start weighing the mental health benefits of coming together versus the physical health risks of coming together. And when we weigh those pros and cons, then you might have a better idea of whether or not you should bring the family together. Because we are social creatures. Human beings were meant to be in groups and do better when they have the support of a group, a family system, or a system of some kind that supports them. And so as social creatures, these last 18 months have really created some interesting challenges, and no one's had the same experience, or, you know, many people have had very differing experiences of how this loss of social connection has impacted them. You know, because from a very evolutionary, biological position, we need our community, we need our family for protection. You know, way back in the prehistoric days, and maybe in sometimes even today, we need them for protection for our physical well-being. But we need protection for our immune systems. We do better when we have family or close loved ones or intimate partnerships in our presence. Our immune system responds better. Our mental health is more stable. We tend to have more financial security when we have a strong family system or support system. And so being isolated has disrupted that protective device. And it's also allowed for loneliness to creep in. And loneliness, I would argue, is probably the most debilitating and most common mental health issue that we have in this country. Loneliness might express itself as depression or anxiety or suicidal ideation or OCD. But at the heart of many of those diagnoses, I would argue, is loneliness, being disconnected from a social support system that helps to buoy our mental health and well-being and our immune system and our confidence and self-esteem. And so this loneliness that at first could be okay, being alone feels good, feels very empowering to be able to be alone and to enjoy some free time. But after a while, you start to get too comfortable in the aloneness, and or you may really miss other people. And so that's where, you know, our personality types determine where we go with this. You might stop missing being with social being in social situations. You might have gotten really used to being at home and being in your routine and working alone and enjoying your quiet and clean house. And you kind of forget that habit of being social. Or you might be someone who really desperately misses that connection. And this has been really challenging to not have those day-to-day contacts, and that you've been frustrated and fighting it ever since. You know, we can go different directions depending on our temperament. But either way, that aloneness, that loneliness that goes on for too long undermines our mental health. Because if you're someone who gets really comfortable being alone, the effort to go out and see other people starts to become debilitating, where you stop even remembering what it's like to go out. You might even develop social anxiety about having to meet up with friends, that you got so comfortable not having to put yourself out there and do things that might be uncomfortable, that you've really lost the capacity to get up and go. And if you're someone who loves company and loves people and have really missed the gatherings and being with other people, the idea of getting back together causes a lot of anxiety, because the fear is, what if everyone's changed? What if everything's different? What if we don't get along anymore? What if I don't know how to behave out in public? And all of those things are valid. And so I think we need to talk about that. What are we feeling going back into this holiday season of 2021 with some cautious thumbs up about gathering with our families? The questions I have for you today are, what are you looking forward to as the holidays come upon us and the possibility of gathering? And what are the things that might be concerning you as we move into the holiday season? So I am here in the studio, and we're going to be opening up the phone lines. Our number is 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And if you're new, you can find out about us by visiting my website or going to our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. Go to Instagram. You can read about the show, post a comment, hear about upcoming programs. If you'd like to listen to previous shows, you can go to kcbx.org, look under the Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist tab, or you can podcast our show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe, leave a review, and you'll be able to listen at your convenience. You can always send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com and join the community. So we're going to take a quick break so we can catch our breath, and I'll be back to start this conversation. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm ever gonna make it home again. It's so far and out of sight. I really need someone to talk to, and nobody else knows how to comfort me tonight. Snow.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and our number is 805-781-3875. What are you looking forward to as we cautiously open up again for family gatherings, and what are some of the concerns you might have as we come back together? One of the things I want to talk about is something that was lost over these 18 months that is fundamental to our mental health and well-being, and that is the coming together and having traditions and rituals. They are at the heart of maintaining our mental health and well-being, because the traditions that we participate in give us a sense of belonging to something greater than ourselves, gives us a sense of belonging to a family or a group that celebrates or participates or interacts with each other in consistent ways. Our traditions are how we make it through really challenging, painful times. Having something that we can count on when we go through periods of loss or sadness or crisis or change. Being able to come together and have a traditional feast or have a traditional party or go through the ritual of a birthday celebration is really fundamental to helping people feel connected and grounded. And so one of the most devastating parts of the pandemic is that it disrupted our ability to gather and participate in those traditions and rituals that make us feel good, that make us feel like we have a group, a team, a family that supports us, that we belong to. And as silly as some traditions are, and sometimes the sillier they are, the more special they feel, and people look forward to them even more because they're silly and unexpected, those traditions helped stabilize our mental health and well-being and the mental health and well-being of our children. Because when things are disruptive, if a family member dies or the family has to move or there's a divorce, if there's a loss, it's so important for us to come together and still cook the special dinner that grandma always made, or hang the stockings, you know, on Christmas Eve together, or have the traditional Thanksgiving dinner. To continue doing those traditional things helps to stabilize the mental health and well-being of everyone, but especially our children, because they can see that life may change, things may be different, but we can count on the traditions moving forward. And to me, that's one of the most challenging things that's come up with the pandemic, is that we lost our ability to gather for traditions. And a lot of us, I think, got really creative with Zoom. I mean, we tried to do some fun things with Zoom to create that ritual, that sense of gathering, but it's been a challenge. And I think it's one of the things I'm most excited about, is having everyone come together to have that traditional dinner, the traditional arguments, the traditional hike as a family down to the beach and back, and conversations with different people. Having that experience is so important to the younger members of our family and also for the rest of us. So I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and our number is 805-781-3875. And Linda, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
So the loss of, I'm going to make it really quick.
Okay.
The loss of, can you hear me well?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hi, Elizabeth. Love your show. The loss of the traditional gathering as a result of COVID, yeah, I'm all on board with that. But part of the problem for me, and might be worth discussing, is I have lost everything, and I am essentially an orphan. My mother and father died before COVID. My brother died during COVID. And then also I developed, and I'm in AA right now, but I also was peer of, so I'm remaking myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in early stages of alcoholism, so I'm doing something about it. But there's also that fear, too. Now I have new people. I have no traditions
mm-hmm.
of the comfortable people. And so what do we do with that? Because, yeah, I'm a Zoom person, I've become isolated, and now I'm fearful of going to gatherings, even with new people,
mm-hmm.
that alcohol is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard. Plus, you don't have the comfort, so it creates fear.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
I don't know. I don't want to make it complicated. There it is.
No, that's not complicated, Linda. It's real.
It is real for me.
Yeah, it is. You're still grieving loss and trying to figure out what this looks like to be kind of a solo person on the planet on one part.
Right. And remake myself into a new thing
mm-hmm.
because the friends that I do have left drink
mm-hmm.
and I'm not invited. I'm a single woman.
Yeah. And so tell me.
Grieving loss. I love what you say. Anyway, I think it's an interesting topic, and, you know, I would love to know the answer.
Well, I have a question for you in return.
Okay.
Tell me your plan.
Oh, my plan.
Mm-hmm. How are
for
you going to take? Yeah, I want to know, how are you going to take charge of this event? Because there's two ways it can go. Part of it is I'm the victim of the circumstances, and that's not in your voice at all. Or,
no, I'm not the...
Nope, you're not
I
the...
I am, yeah.
So you're the creator of your new self, and since you have that confidence in your voice, what does your new self want to do?
Well,
What does your new self want to create as a tradition this year?
Well, that as a that's a hard question, because I just actually went to my hospice counselor this morning and had that hard question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of I said, I don't even know myself. I don't even know what I want. I don't even know if I want to lie in a hot bath and do self-care, you know. I don't. And so that answer, I don't know. I would like tradition, but now I'm faced with reinventing myself, I guess. Mm-hmm. And at the holidays, it sucks. Because this holiday, well, I just lost my brother.
Mm-hmm.
This was our holiday, Thanksgiving, and it was with my long-term boyfriend, who he and I broke up together. So, and also with my two dogs, which one of my dogs died, and then with two other long-term friends. They both died. It sucks.
It does.
And no, I want sympathy, but the steps, my steps are really basic.
Mm-hmm.
Get up every day. Do your meditation and prayer. When ruminating thoughts come in, ask yourself, are these useful?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's no, release them like a butterfly out of your hand. And then try to figure out, I guess, something special to do for myself. And hopefully, if I can include a friend, do so. And that's this year.
So there's
and
one. There's one piece that's missing, though. There's one piece missing.
Okay.
I think you need to make time to grieve each day, and I want you to make a ritual of it over the holidays, that you are going to light a candle, put out a couple altar-y things of your brother, of your friends, of your dog, put them on a little space in your house with some flowers and a candle, and you're going to sit and you're going to acknowledge and be with and honor the passing of these people, because I think part of the challenge of moving forward, reinventing yourself, is you have to do the grief work of the transition of who your life, what your life used to be. And that includes, you know, making space for transitioning the relationship you had with these people who died. You know, they're no longer physically here. So how do you love them while they're gone? And that's by creating this time, this ritual time, each day for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, however you want to set that time, to be with them and to miss them and to feel them. And then you can, that will start to open up and make space for new things. But right now you're still in the midst of loss, which is normal and healthy, but make place for the loss to live, acknowledge it, grieve it, sit with it, and then blow out the candle so you can make space for the rest of the day to see what comes.
Okay, I like that idea.
All right,
I have Mag Champa incense. They're the best.
Well, there you go. So enjoy the beauty. That will be your tradition or ritual starting this year, is that you're going to create a beautiful altar space, a holiday space for the people you've lost in your dog, and give yourself some time each day and set that timer and be with this space, be with them, and then blow out the candle and move on with your day. But that will be your ritual starting today.
And I will be patient.
Yes, you will. With whatever comes up. With whatever comes up. Linda.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling. I imagine this is not easy in any way, but your willingness to go forward and say, I've got to redo myself, is a strength that's going to carry you for many, many years.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you too. Love. Bye.
Bye. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 805-781-3875. The question I'm laying out there today is, do you have concerns about coming back together as a family and gathering with friends and having a holiday season? And what are you looking forward to? What have you missed? 805-781-3875. Emily, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hi, thanks for having me. So you mentioned that there is this tentative approval for gathering together again.
Yes, yes.
And rationally, in my brain, I understand that and how much lower the risks are now than 6 months ago or a year ago. But we've spent so many months cultivating this fear of the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still plagued by this anxiety, picturing how many things can go wrong and a fear that I might subject somebody else to an illness or to something awful. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just constantly battling with how I can gather with my family members who I'm so desperate to see.
Mm-hmm.
When, let's say, the small children, my nieces and nephews, don't have the choice of whether or not to get vaccinated or whether they might be able to prevent some exposure. And it's just this fear that I can't really break from.
Mm. I can empathize with that fear because I have that low-level anxiety all the time. Because we've spent 18 months being cautious, 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 and it's hard to let that go, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't been told that it's okay to totally let it go. So how to open up just a bit is really a challenge. So are you planning to gather with family?
I am. Yeah, I'm getting my brother and sister and nieces and nephews all together for the first time.
Wow. And so what precautions has your family, what conversation has your family had about coming together?
So all of the adults are vaccinated, mm-hmm. But the young kids aren't. And I get tested pretty regularly, some of us more so than others. But, you know, we are also just exposed through schools and workplaces. Mm-hmm. So I think we're taking all of the precautions that are readily available. It's just this anxiety that doesn't go away.
No. And so having the conversation helps. So everyone in some way has agreed to the calculated risk of coming together, that nothing is risk free, have done everything possible. And so what are some steps you've taken to deal with anxiety in the past? Or is this anxiety just new to you?
I think talking about it helped to keep it from blowing up. So even calling and talking to you right now and just sort of acknowledging that it's real and that it's, I don't know, not something that's fabricated or
mm-hmm.
Just giving it space to breathe seems to help.
That's a good point, because anxiety really enjoys silence and secretiveness. When we hide our anxiety or try to avoid it or pretend it's not there, it tends to feed like a sourdough starter and really take hold. And so it's important to talk it out and to put it out into the world, because it loses, when it sees the light of day, anxiety loses a lot of its power.
Mm-hmm.
And so to acknowledge it and say, wow, this has just been living in me for so long, I'm going to recognize it's there. And also to normalize that what you're feeling, Emily, is absolutely acceptable and expected, that we are having these normal reactions to an abnormal situation. And a normal reaction to a pandemic is to feel fear and some anxiety and to cautiously move forward. And the anxiety is evolutionarily in our bodies to protect us, that a fight or flight or, you know, that anxious awareness that we have is there so that we will be cautious and not rush into situations that we're unprepared for. So if we can thank the anxiety and say, thank you. Thank you for making me a little cautious and making me more aware. But I'm just going to go ahead now and enjoy this gathering with my family. And then we have to be at peace with coming back and kind of letting life unfold from that point forward. And I think that's what's different now than any time before, is that we're going to enter into these holidays, try to leave the fear and the anxiety at the door, do our due diligence by getting tested and being vaccinated and, you know, everyone knowing that we're coming into this with best intentions. And then to be at peace with how things fall out after the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Which may not feel super comforting, but I think that's what life has been all along, that nothing is risk-free. We just got very comfortable with the risks of life prior to the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that piece I'm still working on.
Okay.
Brian.
No, I appreciate that. So, you know, a couple of the other suggestions of coming into the COVID gatherings is to make it a little fun and to have separate tables and the 6 feet distancing and to be able to gather but still be apart. And so for people that are still feeling a lot of anxiety about coming together but really needing the presence of family, to have what we call the close together, far apart gathering, where you're out in the backyard, the tables are kind of far apart, or you're eating, you know, food on your lap in chairs that are far apart, then to tell yourselves, which at some point this will be true, that you'll be able to look back on this in a few years ago. Remember the Thanksgiving where we sat 6 feet apart and balanced our turkey on our hands? But at least we got together, and it'll become part of the family story. And I think that's the best we can offer ourselves right now.
You know, it's definitely an improvement from being far apart.
Yes, or over Zoom, which has no contact at all. Yeah. So, Emily, thank you for calling. And I appreciate you giving anxiety a place to live. And I think your feelings are something that a lot of people are also sharing and grappling with at this point.
Thank you.
I appreciate you taking the time to call.
Sure thing. Have a good one.
Thank you. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and today I'm cautiously stepping into what it looks like to gather again as families or as close friends to celebrate the holidays. For the first time in over 18 months, we're getting a cautious thumbs up from health experts that we can come together for fully vaccinated and to start building our communities. Start building our connections again, start to kind of repair some of the damage that's been done because we've been forced to be apart for so long. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, either what you're looking forward to as we come back together or what concerns you might have. Our number is 805-781-3875. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to take your calls. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Under that live oak, my favorite dog is buried in the yard. I thought if I could touch this place, I'll feel it. This brokenness inside me might start healing. Out here, just come in, I swear I'll leave. Won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me. Mama cut out pictures of houses for years, from Better Homes and Garden magazines. Plans were drawn on concrete board, nail by nail and board by board. Daddy gave life to Mama's dream.
Thanks for listening to this conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. It'll be available to listen to later today on our website at kcbx.org. Don't forget, your calls are encouraged, so give Elizabeth a call, 805-781-3875. Our conversation continues with Elizabeth. Back to you.
Thank you, Francisco. So let's put it out to you, because you're here with me at this moment. Are you looking forward to gathering? Do you have any concerns? Where are you right now in this?
I'm trying to remind myself there's still a pandemic, but I think the fatigue and exhaust of, I mean, it's been a draining. That's the one word I could probably describe. Well, not probably. That's the one word I have for the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. Draining. So I'm ready to be able to see, you know, my friends more comfortably. At the end of September, I was able to meet up with some friends and go to a baseball game, which was really nice. But yeah, I'm kind of ready to just see friends and, you know, see family that I haven't really been able to get together with in a long time, or at least, you know, a while back. But now I'm starting to see some family members that I'm learning about. Like, for instance, I got a Facebook message from one of my cousins down in Norco inviting me to come to an anti-vaccine mandate rally. And again, I'm just saying the views expressed here are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KCBX. And so when I saw that, I was kind of like, huh, I did not expect you to think that way. And I kind of just left him on read. And so just really learning who's who out there. But overall, yeah, I'm kind of ready to just be with people again and just, you know, see family, see friends, the whole nine yards.
And I appreciate that because there is, as I talked about at the beginning of the show, loneliness is really detrimental to our mental health. And so when we start to weigh the risks of gathering, and as I was talking to Emily, is that we have to weigh the risks to our mental health if we continue to be isolated and away from each other, and how important it is to have that sense of community and to be like involved with something greater than ourselves, that people count on us, that we can count on them, that we can talk to them, that we can hug them. And what's ironic is right before the pandemic, right before the shutdown, and I went back to look at the archives. I did a show on hugging and skin hunger and how important it is to hug other people, to have that sense of connection, because it calms our immune system. It lowers our blood pressure. It lowers our heart rate. It gives us a sense of grounding and connectedness, that there's this amazing amount of research about how people respond when they lack connection with another person, right? That skin to skin that hugging can be. And I'm not talking about like the side hug that we do or the bump head, not that. The full on, I come to you with my arms wrapped around your body and feel your heart beating next to mine kind of hug, which is really engulfs us. And so it has not been lost on me that in the last year and a half plus since I did that show, we have not been able to do that. And in many ways, we've developed phobias about hugging each other and have to work past that anxiety or concern about wrapping our arms around someone, because we have to start, again, weighing the risks of illness. If we're fully vaccinated, they are minimized against what's happening to our mental health when we don't have that physical contact with another human being, that feeling of being held and hugged and supported. It's so, so important. And so if you were to ask me what is I most looking forward to about seeing, you know, my family next week, is bear hugging the hell out of all of them and really putting my heart into that experience of being connected to them again. And I don't know, I was just going through my mind, do I feel afraid of that? I don't think so. It's been a long time, but I also know that when we hug people and put our hearts together, it's harder to have conflict as well. And so I was just thinking about, you know, your cousin and sending this message to attend something that I would assume you're not really supportive of. And so now you're in this spot of, the things that were a problem pre-pandemic still exist. And so if we are going to come together and gather in lieu of being on Zoom once again, we still have the things that were a challenge prior to the pandemic, political conversations, views of what's happening in the world around us, climate change. And I did shows for the last, you know, probably 5 or 6 or 7 years, every year around the holidays, just talking about how do we get together with family members who have different viewpoints, who come from a different perspective, and how to deal with those communication challenges. And so interestingly, here I am this year saying, okay, we're going back in there. We're going to get together and we're going to take the right precautions. We're going to be fully vaxxed. You know, we're going to rapid test, do what we need to do to be comfortable together. But we're going back in there to build these connections and bonds again with the people who are closest to us. But the things that were a problem before are still going to be there. And they might even be elevated. The discord in family, the divide we feel in the political landscape and in the cultural landscape, just in our cities, is so huge and so visceral. Those things are still there. And so how will we address that? because the getting past the gate of concern about gathering because of the pandemic means once we're in the room together, we have to then face what were the challenges prior to the pandemic or during the pandemic that kept us apart. I'd love you to be part of the conversation. Do you have concerns about this, about coming back together or dealing with the things that were issues prior to the pandemic or came up and were bigger during the pandemic? I'd love to hear your story and how you've handled it. Or are you just looking forward to gathering again? And what is it about the holidays that you're really looking forward to? What tradition are you looking forward to participating in again? Our number is 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm so happy to be in my chair at the studio. You don't even know. But let me give you a few tips about how we go back in to the room with our family when the things that might have been conflicts before still kind of arise. Here's some things. You need to make a plan. And I mentioned that to Linda at the beginning. It's really important that we have a plan of action. Because if we don't have a plan of action, we just wander into situations. It's really easy to get blindsided or get sucked into conversations that we didn't want to have or into situations where there's drinking and we don't want to drink or, you know, anything that can kind of undermine our resolve. So have a plan. Think about the people that are going to be at your gathering and make a list of the topics and things that you can talk about with everyone in the family. What are some safe things that you can share that'll be fun to talk about? And make sure it's everybody, because we don't want to go in avoiding people that might be challenging, because that just builds a bigger divide. So take some time to make a list of those things that would be safe to address. And then also think about your plan of action. You know, what am I going to wear that day? What will make me feel comfortable in my skin, in my body? Do some breath work prior to the holidays that help to center you. And there's a lot of great examples of different breath work that you can find online, different apps that you can go to that can teach you different calming breathing techniques. Do a little bit of that every day to kind of prepare your nervous system for going back into the family. And then on the day of the event, figure out how you can take some breaks during the day. Maybe give yourself a 10-minute walk outside, or offer to take one of the little kids on a walk, or go out to your car and pretend you're getting something and just do a little time of breathing. Take some breaks so that your nervous system doesn't get amped up or ramped up to the point where you can't think, because that's really the challenging part, is that when we get anxious and we get activated, we no longer can make good decisions. So it's really important to kind of retreat, catch your breath. And then don't expect too much from the day. Be realistic. If we haven't been together for 18 months, we missed a lot of events with each other. Everyone's probably going to have a lot they want to say. Everyone's probably going to want to be heard and seen. And so don't expect too much and appreciate what can happen, what you can get from that day. But don't try to heal old wounds or old divides or bring up challenging conversations, because it's just going to add pressure to a day that's probably going to feel pretty heavy. And don't avoid, as I said, those challenging relatives. Make sure you go in with something fun to share with them, whether bringing a jelly from a place that you visited that you knew they would like, or a stat about a baseball team that you know that they follow, because we can do a lot of healing just by finding the things that we do connect on before we find ourselves having conversations about things that we know we don't agree on. Our number is 805-781-3875. And Bruce, you're on the line. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm doing my breathing.
I'm good. Do the breathing. Box yes. Breathing.
So, you know, we got vaccinated, and then my wife and I got our booster, and our son's been really good about that too. And we're going down to family who just doesn't believe. They mm-hmm. they make fun of masking. My wife's brother at one point chased my daughter around when the pandemic first started, kept chasing her around the dinner table, and he hadn't been vaccinated yet. Ugh. and just making a joke of it. And so what happens is, by the end of it, you know, we start feeling more isolated than we did when we got to the event.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I have anxiety just from listening to some of the stories I've heard today. And so it starts building. And when they can't even acknowledge your anxiety, then you end up in a situation where, you know, you feel less connected to that person that you've been trying to connect to than you did when you got there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are right now.
Wow. That is really challenging. And I know you're probably not the only family with this, because you're in the conundrum of wanting to gather, as I brought up at the beginning of the show, that we spent a lot of time apart, but they don't respect at all what your family values. And so what is the common ground?
Yeah, right. And then my wife went to a funeral 2 weeks ago. Her cousin was 40 years old and died of COVID because she wouldn't get vaccinated.
Oh, no.
And so one of our nieces shows up with an 18-month-old. And my wife's like, I've been vaccinated. I got my booster, but I don't want to hold her. And the nieces just started mocking her, you know. And my wife, you know, she just wanted to say, screw you. You know, do you not understand? You know, you're welcome. I'm trying to help, you know, your daughter's 18 months old. I'm trying not to hold her. I'm trying to be safe. Mm-hmm. And they just mocked her, and it really upset her. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our challenge is when you get people and I hate to say, you know, there's like an IQ, you know, a social IQ or some kind of intelligence going on, you know, lack of, or, you know, I don't want to make the judgment call like that, but you just, it's just foolish. They're acting foolish. And it just really, when you've tried so hard my wife has lost two friends from COVID, and they were both, you know, anti-vaxxers. And it's just really difficult when you get into that, and you just, like you said, you want to give someone a bear hug.
Yes.
You know, because we're a hugging family. We all are. Mm-hmm. And then you run into that, and then you just want to stay 6 feet away from them.
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah, and you can't. And it's just, it's the elephant in the room, but it's like not even an elephant. It's like 1,000 elephants in the room. You know, it's so much beyond, you know, what we have ever had to live through in our entire existence. Mm-hmm. At me being 59 years old, I've never had anything like, you know, none of us had this. Mm-mm. It's been well over 100 years since this has happened. And you're trying to explain that to people, and they're just, they just don't want to talk about it. And they belittle your whole, your concern for them.
Yes.
And so that, you know, it's challenging. And like you say, we try to find a way to connect with them. But it's just the thing I can say is I am lucky with who I married, because we can just drive home back up here from L.A. and just calm ourselves with our conversation between each other.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's two things that you're saying that really resonate with me, Bruce. One of them is the disappointment, because I spent a lot of time in the show talking about we need our community. We have been ripped from the support of our social systems that undermines our mental health. And what you're saying is, yes, but if the system is no longer supportive, then it's even more frightening to feel adrift. And how do we rebuild that? And I think
it's like, it's like you've got to find your, and my wife and I talk about this all the time. You've got to find your people.
Yeah.
And your people emotionally and support wise, your people aren't always by blood.
Yeah.
And you have to find, you know, you have to find that because we are lonely. You know, we are starved for them. There have been four children born since the pandemic that we haven't even been able to hold yet. You know, so, but at the same time, you know, we can't cross that one line. Mm-hmm. There's that one line we just can't cross. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to keep our integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard when people have different levels of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to relate. And that's kind of what we're finding. And I'm sure we'll end up having a good time on some level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We will, because there are things, you know, we can share a common sense of humor. There are things we can share with those people, and we will find them.
Yes.
Because you search for those things, because that's what attracts you to that person.
Yeah.
Whether it's a sense of humor, whether it's a hobby, you know, whatever it is, you know, just an interest in that person, what they're doing, or they bought a house, or they did this. You know, you can find a way to connect with someone.
Yes.
But it's just, it's like I said, it's got those thousand elephants are going to be surrounding that table.
Absolutely. And there's one other piece to it I wanted to add, because it doesn't come up very much in the conversation. We talk a lot about the, you know, divide between those who are vaxxed and those who don't believe in it. But the thing we don't talk about is what drives the unvaccinated to feeling so fervent about their position. And it's fear. You know, they're riddled with their own level of anxiety and fear that's overwhelming to them. And the only way they can cope with that anxiety and fear is to lash out and push back against the vaccine or, you know, the mask mandate, because they have fear of their own demise or catching it or feeling like they made the wrong decision, or, you know, there's the fear of the unknown is overwhelming. As you said, we've never lived through a pandemic in our lifetime and in many generations. Yeah. And so everyone responds differently to something that is catastrophic. And all of us feel fear, but how we express that fear or live with that fear, calm that fear, is different. And so some people calm that fear by, you know, moving forward to the science and taking this path. But those that can't allow themselves to just go with the vaccine flow, they're still riddled with their own fear and anxiety. They may say they're not and it's all a hoax, it doesn't matter. But as a clinician, I know that when people are the more... I don't know what the word is, the more they downplay things, the mm-hmm. deeper the level of fear is. Because even if you had no fear at all, then you'd have more of a understanding of why someone would get vaccinated, right? But if you just are adamant that it's wrong and it's dangerous and you shouldn't and I would never do this, that is thou does protest too much, which means mm-hmm. you're riddled with your own fear and anxiety about this, and I'm going to have grace for you over that fear and anxiety, that I'm not going to allow myself just to see you as the ignorant or the angry opposition, but I'm going to have grace for your fear and how you're coping with it.
I find that a lot of times people, they have a fear of being wrong.
Yes.
So, and it's like to some people, the biggest defeat in their entire life is to say, sorry, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And when my wife and I got together, we started doing that. It took a couple of years, but we started doing that. And it's just freeing. It's freeing to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that pretty much ends the conflict right there,
mm-hmm.
99% of the time. But when you're afraid to be wrong, you just pull stuff out of thin air, mm-hmm. and you know, you just you double down.
Yes,
you double mm-hmm. down on it because you don't want to have to say, you know what, and even like, I might be wrong. Just the self-awareness to say, you know, there's a possibility I'm on here, but, mm-hmm. and those are the people that can see the other side of it. I mean, I am totally a vaxxer, but I can see the side of people that don't want their freedom infringed upon. Mm-hmm. I understand that it's not what I think is valid, but I can understand where they're coming from. And it doesn't mean I agree with it. But I can understand the logic behind it. I can understand the emotion behind it, and that's kind of what gets me through these interactions.
And that's what I was gonna say. That's gonna be your saving grace for Thanksgiving, is that you're gonna be able to go in there with a plan of things you can mm-hmm. talk about that are mm-hmm. low risk, and mm-hmm. Hug the heck out of your wife and all the vaccinated people that you can, and feel good about that. But Bruce, thank you. I appreciate you calling in, and I hope you'll call again. Let us know how things went.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we have time for one more quick call. Stacy, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, Elizabeth. Two quick things. First of all, I was one of the first callers that you had on your show 10 years ago.
And, wow.
I've been following you ever since, and I appreciate you so much. Even though that we sometimes have divergent views from each other, I always appreciate your professionalism and your caring.
Wow, Stacey, thank you. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. The second thing is that as far as I was listening to the fear and the anger and your stance on the people that are anti-vax,
mm-hmm.
I am not classifying myself either or, but I, from my experience in this last 18 months, the people that have circled the wagon, so to speak, with the anti-vax, it's not out of any kind of fear or anger. It's the fact that we are healthy. And one of the things that are being downplayed right now is the fact that this pandemic is based on why aren't people getting healthy through their foods and through their other things and all of this other stuff. Because I don't know a whole lot of people that will take the kind of aggressive, you know, you're wrong and I'm right, if they are healthy and they feel well, their immune systems are perked up. And they, I mean, I'm almost 60 years old and I run circles around people half my age because I take a quality look at what I'm eating, what I'm putting in my body, and the kind of attitude that I'm putting out there. So,
no, and I appreciate that.
Give a shout out to all of us people that are, you know, we're not a pro or a con. We're just, we believe that what we put into our body, food is medicine.
I 100%, and I love that. And I was thinking about, there's actually a show coming up on utilizing food as medicine. So very timely. Maybe you'll call in there as well. And I think I think, and this might be really controversial with a minute to go in the show. It's so hard, Stacey.
Yeah.
But a lot of the reason that we get so, because I also am a food as medicine person, I try really hard and work out and my immune system is great, but it's driven a little bit by the fear that if I don't take care of myself at 60 years old, that I will decline. And so I would argue that fear does drive us in ways that people don't even recognize, because we make decisions because we don't want the alternative to come and get us. And so to have a little bit of that fear chasing us causes us to make decisions quite often that are in our best interest.
Could be. I can't argue with that. I prefer to go to, you know, I look at the people around me that are my age or that aren't, that have eaten the processed foods, and I'm not paying attention to where the things are grown and this and that, and they suffer greatly. So,
it's,
you know,
so
I prefer to be an example than to, you know. But thank you so much, Elizabeth. I do appreciate you, and have a wonderful holiday.
You too, Stacey, and thank you for calling. Call more often. I appreciate that. And this has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I wish you all well as you move into whatever the next iteration of your family gatherings will be, and how you come together and how you share joy. But let me just remind you this one last thing, that getting together and having traditions, however you form them, is critical to our mental health and well-being. So if you can't have the traditional gatherings of your childhood, find a new way to start a tradition, because our foundations of community are set on the traditions that we participate in together. And that's a great place to start, bringing back some healing after a long, long time of being apart. And I appreciate you tuning in. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. Find me on Facebook, on Instagram. Send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And tune in next Tuesday at 2. I'll be here. And thank you for supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
For the holidays, I believe I've missed each and every face. Come on and play one easy. Let's turn on every love light in the place. It's time I found myself totally surrounded in your circles. Oh, my friend. Celebrate me home. Give me a number, please. Celebrate me home. Play me one more song that I'll always remember. I can recall whenever I find myself too all alone. I can sing. Traveling where the westerly winds can fly. Somebody tried to tell me, but the man forgot to tell me why. I gotta count on being gone.